Let's look at the Word of God together, Luke chapter 3. This is really about the ministry, this chapter about the ministry of John the Baptist, who was the one that God called to prepare the way for the Messiah, Jesus, to come. And he was called the greatest of all prophets up till that point. So he was really, really important in the plan of God. And he'd been preaching about people needing to return to God, to repent. His message was to repent, and his message was to prepare people's hearts to receive the Messiah, who was Jesus. And their ministries crossed over. John the Baptist actually was involved in baptizing Jesus, and it was almost like the baton was handed into the hand of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man. So Jesus, the Messiah, came. But I was reading this, and there's something that really struck me, because up to the point when John the Baptist came, God had been quiet for 400 years. Wow. No new word had come. The last prophet was 400 years before. And then suddenly, John the Baptist comes with a fresh word ministry to call people back to God, to repent from their sin and turn to God. And I can't imagine what that would have been like to live through an entire life of not hearing God. We get so used to hearing the voice of Jesus that we can hear him. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. But the people who were hearing this message and turning to the Lord and having lives changed, things like, you know, don't accuse people falsely, things like be content with your wages. We wouldn't like that in today's society, would we? The call of John the Baptist to be content with what you have. Don't intimidate anyone. All these things that John the Baptist was quite a kind of fiery, repent man. But God was working in the hearts of people through it. And in verse 15, because people began to wonder about John's ministry, whether he was Christ or not, the Messiah. It says here, now as the people were in expectation, or another translation says just simply the people were in expectation. So John the Baptist's preaching had created in the people who were there, and there were many people went out to hear the ministry of John. There was an expectation in the people, and I loved that. Really struck me. The people were in expectation. Wouldn't it be amazing if that was our definition? That God looked at us and said, my goodness me, those people are in expectation. And into that atmosphere of expectation, the Messiah came. John wasn't the focus of the expectation. He pointed everybody to Jesus. But into that amazing atmosphere of expectation, Jesus came. And you remember that after Jesus' death and resurrection, he spoke to his disciples and he said, wait in Jerusalem. The promise of the Holy Spirit's going to come. And they were in expectation 10 days in the upper room. And in that place of expectation, they knew exactly that they were there to receive something from God, the Holy Spirit, actually. He poured out upon those in expectation. How many of you know that God pours out on people who have expectation? Anticipation that God is going to work. And whenever God is going to do something, he looks for a person or a people in expectation. Now, when someone's pregnant, we say they're expecting. So, you know, whether you can see it or not, they know they're expecting. And I know that everything that they do is about getting ready for this child to be born. And expectation carries with it that definite, on the edge of your seat, something's going to happen. And we're really excited about what God is going to do. When Peter and John went up to the temple, you remember the story, after the Spirit came, they went up to pray. And there was this lame man who'd never walked. And Peter and John were kind of, this man was begging and asking for money. And Peter said, "Look at us." And the man looked, and I love what Acts 3 verse 5 says. Listen to this. He looked, expecting to receive something from them. He looked, expecting to receive something from them. Now, the thing about Peter and John is they were ready because they were expecting to give to anyone who had an expectation to receive from them. They were aware that the Spirit of God was in them, and therefore they had life, healing, power to give. So they knew that if someone was in expectation, God would move. And that lame man walked because he looked at them with expectation. Now we know that he was used to getting money, but Peter said, "I don't have money to give you, but what I do have, I do give. In the name of Jesus, walk." But I think many times I've read that, and I've missed this. He looked at them with expectation. And this morning, right here, right now, the big question is, are you in expectation? It's a question that I think is very good to ask ourselves. Am I in expectation? Am I on the edge of my seat, ready for God to do something here, now, here, today? This question is something that God wants to kind of change the way you think about your days. He wants to use this question. Every day you wake up, am I in expectation for God to do something? Or do I just live my days without expectation? And when John the Baptist came preaching, you see, the word, the preaching of the word changes expectations. Because John brought the word and the whole atmosphere changed. Because people, faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. And when the word is preached, your expectation can come from low to I'm expecting. Because that's the power of the preaching of God's word, of the hearing of God's word. Are you expecting to receive something from God? Let's turn to Mark, and we're going to read about an expectant man called Bartimaeus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a wonderful story. It's one of my favorites, go-to stories. Just reading about how it's not a chance happening, this. This is a divine kind of divine purpose of God. Because I believe Bartimaeus had faith in Jesus, but because he didn't think Jesus was there, he couldn't activate his faith. And I believe in the activation of faith, not just having faith that's dormant, that says, yes, I believe God does miracles. Yes, I've heard of what Jesus is doing throughout Israel. But when Jesus arrives, his faith went from passive faith to active faith, or receiving from Jesus. In that moment, when he found out Jesus was present. So let's read this, hopefully with fresh eyes, because the Word of God is living and powerful, and we can even receive faith just from reading together God's Word. Now, as they came to Jericho, as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Bartimaeus had enough faith to know that if Jesus was present, he had an opportunity to get something from him. That's amazing faith, actually. He knew that if Jesus was around, something could happen in his life. And so he took the moments, carpe diem. He seized the moment and he said, "Right, actually, now is the time. I'm going to get something. This is my moment and I can't let it pass by. I can't let this situation go on and not lay hold of Jesus for a miracle, for what I need." And in this time, he's wearing this garment, a beggar's garment. He's used to asking from people to meet his needs. And this garment apparently was like issued by, I don't know, the council or the NHS or whatever they had at that time. And it identified Bartimaeus as the genuine blind man. Like he wasn't faking it. How many of you know you sometimes look, I remember when people ask for money. It's not always, I believe some people fake it. But this was a genuine need. And what he was wearing kind of backed that up. And Jesus, he heard, was passing by. And so he decides to start to get to his ear. To make a noise, to say something. He couldn't see Jesus like we can't right here, right now, with our natural eyes. But he believed he was there, just based on the report of the people around. "It's Jesus of Nazareth. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Right. Son of David, have mercy on me." He's getting right into the ear of Jesus. And when people, I love this, when people say, "Shh, we're not a noisy church. Now don't disturb the ambiance." He goes louder. I'm telling you, expectation, your moment, you're going to go as loud as you need to go to make sure you are the one that's being heard. Because the crowd don't need this miracle. They're just with Jesus. But maybe there's someone here today who needs God to do something for them. Or did you just come to church? Thought I'd ask. Did you just come to a service? Or is there anything you need Jesus to do for you? And the crowd were like going along, had a nice time of worship. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. That was great. But there might be a bard here who says, I'm going to go a bit further and reach the ear of the one who actually has the power to change everything in a moment. In a moment, everything can change if you're expecting to receive something. Because Jesus is present. Now, many years ago, when I first moved to this country from Zimbabwe, as was Rhodesia, and we lived in Nottinghamshire, I grew up from 10 years plus in a place called Southall in Nottinghamshire. And I wasn't culturally acceptable, really, because I was more kind of from Africa than I was from England. So I was always mocked at school because I had an accent. I've lost it, but I had an accent, and I thought differently, because when you're from a different culture, you think really differently. But I'd always been told by my mum about the Queen and how important she was, how special she was. And we didn't get kind of media the same way. And my mum built up this picture about the Queen that I just thought, amazing, there's a Queen. Like a real Queen, you know, when you're a little girl, you want to be the princess. I just thought, she's real, she's alive, because in Africa we didn't have that. And so when we moved here, we found out that the Queen was going somewhere and would actually take her entourage through our village. And it was in a time of great celebration. I can't remember what year it was, so forgive me, but I do remember the moment as a child. And so this car and her entourage are going through our village at a certain point. So the village decided to make it a big deal. We're all going to have a day off, have a street party, and we were all going to stand along the pavement. We hardly fit. And we were going to get a flag. We were given a flag. One of those little, you know, flags. Then the Union Jack. And I'm standing there, I think, beyond excited. I'm beyond myself. Because I'm like, a Queen is going by. Now, today's world, we'd be like, oh, the Queen just went by. Probably. I don't know where you're at. But for me, I'm like, this is a moment. I won't miss it. I'm going to be there on the front row. Well, it was hard to get on the front row. Ever so hard. Because there's all these Neil-sized, Gerald-sized guys standing there, James. And I'm like, how can I see? I just peeking round the side, trying to, my dad wouldn't pick me up. My brother didn't have the strength to pick me up. And I'm looking for, how can I get a raised platform here? And I couldn't. But I literally, as I knew, I saw the police car go through. And I knew that if I stuck my neck out, I'd be on the front row. My body was back here, but I'm like here. And I pushed through these bodies and went, and I literally saw she was wearing yellow. She was in yellow. And I literally saw flash. And the Queen passed by. But I saw her. And that made my day. Just seeing her was like, I didn't miss it. Some people missed it. They didn't push through. How can you miss a miracle when Jesus is here? You don't push through. You're not saying, I'm going to stick my neck out. I don't care what you think of me, I'm going for it. I might not be my normal etiquette in life, because we were taught as children not to be pushy. But when it comes to Jesus, I'm going to be pushy right in this moment to come with boldness, because I need him to do something for me. And so it made me think of the queen when I read this morning. Passing by. Jesus is passing by now. Let me say, he's much more important than the queen. And can I just add, he's always with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. But you've got to stick your neck out. Like Bartimaeus did. And speak into his ear. And say, have mercy on me. I am interested. He said, I need mercy before I can receive my miracle. I'm really interested in that. Because you see, Jesus is always communicating to us that we need his mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Every day we need God's mercy. Every day we need the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from all sin. Every day we mess up. Does anybody here who thinks they lived a perfect day? Not me. Not me. I don't live perfect life. But Jesus lives a perfect life for me. But I'm a recipient of mercy. Mercy that doesn't give me what I deserve. Thank God for his mercy. That doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. I'm not getting judgment from God. The Jews used to think that there were two thrones. God had two thrones. One was called mercy, the other judgment. But you know, we're in a new age where it's mercy and grace, and afterwards judgment. But we won't be judged for our sin because we believe in Jesus. His mercy will last right through into glory. And so, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's identifying Jesus because he's never seen him. But he says, he's thinking in his heart, he must be God. People have been raised from the dead. People are hearing words of teaching that I've not heard anything like it. I've not seen him, and I can't see he's here, but I'm going to stick my neck out. If God says he's present, I'm going to stick my neck out, even though I can't see Jesus. I can't feel him. I can't feel God here. I'm not feeling it, but I know he's here. I know he's here. And I know he's always with me. Mercy. And Jesus says, bring him, get him near me. Another thing. You know, on that day when the queen passed by, she's the queen. I'm her loyal servant, just kidding. But you know, I'm his servant, but you know, I honor her. I honor all in authority because that's God's will for us. And I respect our queen. But I didn't ask her to come to me. So when she drove by, I didn't say, oh, hold it, it's me. Just stop and come. And Jesus did something really interesting. Wouldn't you think if there was a blind person by the road, you would go to them? Wouldn't you think? Well, I would. If somebody's in need, I usually say, here I am. I touch them and say, I'm here. Can you feel me? I know you can't see me yet, but can you feel me? Jesus didn't do that. In every miracle, there are instructions from Jesus to bring about a miracle. And the instruction was, bring him to me. So in other words, make him move. Now, why did Jesus say, make him move? Because if he stays passive, he won't get the miracle. Because expectation moves you to Jesus. You come to Jesus. Yes, I know that Jesus died on the cross and he came to us. But now, scripture says, therefore, brethren, let us come boldly. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy. I'm not getting what I do deserve. And grace, I'm getting what I don't deserve. In other words, a miracle to help in this time of need. And so Bartimaeus had to leave the side of the road. Because faith acts. It doesn't just say, let it happen. It moves to Jesus in faith. And you know what else the scripture says, if you read it carefully? He threw off his garment. I'm doing my African thing right now. He threw off his garment. He threw it off. The thing that identified him as a needy beggar. What a miracle to see these things in scripture. He had to move, but Bartimaeus chose something in that moment. I don't want to be dependent on people all my life. I don't want to be dependent on drugs all my life. I don't want to be dependent on things that I can't do because I'm needy. I want my needs met today. And so he threw off his identity that had been his lifelong identity as a blind man. He said, I'm no longer going to accept that cloak. I'm going to accept a miracle. And sometimes you have to throw off your problems before you get a miracle from Jesus. Say, this will not define the rest of my life. So anybody doesn't want to be defined by a situation in your life for the rest of your life, throw it off. And Jesus says, come, bring him to me. And so Bartimaeus shows up. He can't even see Jesus yet, but he's moved. Location, location, location. He's gone from, come to me, but he's gone into, hang on a minute, it's my moment, so I'm going forward. When was the last time you got out of your chair in a meeting to go forward and receive something from Jesus? Or do you always expect him to come to you? You see, sometimes he does just come to you. But other times, it's like important you move. I'm preaching good today. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, God is moving us into a miracle, into a miraculous life, into daily expectations. Because he's always here. And he's not just here for us, he's here for the people. We've got something to give them. I'm expecting to give, not just receive. I'm expecting an opportunity to give to others. Because I carry the very life and power of God himself, the Holy Spirit. Garment off, location changed. Come through a crowd that at last say, hey, hey, it was worth it. He's calling you. Imagine the Queen saying that to me that day. Hey, she wants to see you. Oh my goodness, how blessed I'd have been, that little girl. Going, she wanted me. She called me. And he wants to say that to you this morning. He's calling you to himself. How privileged are you to come to Jesus? How privileged are we to relocate, to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. my expectation. So Bartimaeus, the presence of Jesus and the word, the instruction of Jesus have come after his cry. And he moves right in front of Jesus. Can't see him. Eyes closed. I know it's you because I've been told you're here. I know you're here to meet every need this morning, Lord. You're here. You see, Bartimaeus saw with the eyes of faith, the eyes of the heart that believe. And he was in expectation. And then comes this, I'm sorry if it doesn't stress you out too much. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, I'd have come out with a list. I'm confident I wouldn't have stopped at the one thing. Perhaps Bartimaeus could have carried on. Like we can. As I'm preaching this, I'm getting such a revelation. We can carry on daily expecting. Right, I had that yesterday. What's today? What do you want me to do for you? Now, just a few verses before, these guys, his disciples, had asked to sit on his right hand and left hand, and his mother was behind it because they wanted position with Jesus. And, you know, the same question was refused because it wasn't the will of God. And so you can't ask whatever you want. You've got to ask whatever he wants to do. And we know he's good. And we know he wants to bless people. He doesn't want to bless you with superiority, position, microphones. He wants to bless you with what he wants to bless you with. All the goodness and the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. And so they kind of got their motive wrong a few verses before. But Bartimaeus' motive was fine with Jesus. So when he said, what do you want me to do? Bartimaeus had all his life to think about what he'd like. If you've lived with a problem all your life, you know exactly what you want. Is anybody? If you had a physical need all your life, you know exactly what you're asking for. I think we're getting on tiptoes for a miracle, aren't we? Putting our head through. Moving forward to take a miracle from Jesus. What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? The answer, written in the Word, is so brilliant that it should train all of us to actually see the transfer of power from Jesus to your life. Whatever it is, it may not be healing, it might be an emotional well-being. It might be a situation that's out of your control. It might be an identity you've always lived with, but you're not free from. It might be something you've never been able to overcome. And Bartimaeus, his answer was extraordinary. He said that I may receive. That I may receive. Now, you know, if you ask somebody to do something for you, you're not in the mode of receiving. You're just asking them. But Bartimaeus was in a receiving mode. That I may receive, I don't know, whatever your need is, my needs, that I may receive my sight. I love that. Because many times we get stuck in the asking and we don't move to the receiving. Because you only receive when you receive. If I was to give Henry a present, He would only receive it when he took it. That I may receive. And the question is, for all of us this morning, because Jesus is here, because he's good, because he's so generous, am I in expectation to receive something from him? Or do I just want information? Am I in expectation? You see, we are moving into days where the Spirit is going to move in ways that are unprecedented in your life and in our lives as a church. That's what the Spirit is saying. But where does this river of the Holy Spirit, the river of life, flow? To who? Who gets, in a moment, if you could imagine Bartimaeus, the river of life went into him and he got healed. He received where the crowds didn't. Can you see that? The river of life always flows into expectation. Wherever you expect to receive, you will receive. Where you don't expect, you won't. Because Jesus made it clear that it is according to our faith that it will actually be done to us. According to our expectation. And Bartimaeus kept faith really simple. Jesus is here. I need your mercy. And when you say to me, and he is saying to all of us, what do you want me to do for you? He wasn't like, well, I don't yet know, Lord, just give me 5. He knew exactly. It was targeted. It was clear. I know what I want. I want to receive my sight. And he moved into just simple childlike faith, standing before God, who is Jesus. Merciful, compassionate God, generous God. And he said, I want to receive something from you. I don't just want to ask you. I want to take something from you today. I'm sick of living with this identity. I'm sick of living with this garment. I've thrown it off. I've come to you. Now is the moment to take something directly from you. Then Jesus said, just let me read it. Go your way. He said, come. Bartimaeus said, I want to receive something. And he said, go. It's funny in this miracle that Jesus does. Sometimes he touches people. But in this miracle, he said, well, it's happened, so you may as well go. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Go your way. So in other words, you don't need to do any more asking. You've just received your miracle. Go. And love this. And immediately he received. After the instruction to leave. Go your way. Not after he fell over, not after he felt something, after he was told, right, that's it, off you go, you've got it. And immediately as he took the instruction, he got healed. I think this is a marvelous illustration of Hebrews, one of my favorite verses, I've already mentioned it, come boldly before the throne of grace, where you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Come and then go your way. Don't just stay at the throne praying. Receive what you're asking for and go without having yet seen or experienced or felt anything. But it will happen as you go. Jesus always worked with helping people to believe by acting on his word. Because as soon as they acted on the words of Jesus, they were going to see the results that Jesus wanted them to have. Inactivity is an enemy to you receiving your miracle. But this incredible expectation in this move of God, in this right here, right now, Jesus is here, not tomorrow, I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive from Jesus whatever I need to ask him for. I'm in expectation. Let's stand.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.